Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 14th day of December, 2018. Before I introduce my guest and our subject today, I just wanted to say that I learned last Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, from Jonathan Riesinger, a fellow member of Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that his uncle, John G. Riesinger, a key figure in the resurgence of the doctrines of sovereign grace amongst Baptists in the mid-20th century, is likely not going to be experiencing another Christmas here on earth, and is expected to be joining his dearly departed wife and his brother Ernie Riesinger, founder of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and another 20th century trailblazer for sovereign grace amongst Baptists, who are awaiting John's entrance into eternity with them, where he will be welcomed with open arms by his Lord, God, Savior, King, and friend, Christ Jesus, who has been John's number one passion for many decades. John Riesinger's teaching and preaching and fellowship at the annual Bunyan Conferences in Pennsylvania played a central role in the development of my own understanding of the Holy Scriptures during the formative days when I was cutting my teeth on the doctrines of grace as a new Christian in the 1980s and the late 1980s and early 1990s. My years attending the John Bunyan Conference every year, accompanied by my late wife Julie's pastor, the late Don Blind, who became a very precious friend to me, have forged memories for me that I will treasure and cherish forever. I am so honored to have been given the privilege to interview John Riesinger several times on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and have received from him a beautifully written endorsement for this program. I would appreciate it if you would please pray for John Riesinger as he prepares to depart this earth after a very long, faithful, and fruitful life of service to his King. And please pray for the Riesinger family as well, because obviously they will be going through a period of grief and mourning after John does leave this earth, but obviously a period of mourning that will be mixed with joy, because they will certainly know with great confidence where John is for eternity with Christ. Now I'd like to introduce to you, with my raspy voice due to a cold that suddenly sprang upon me last night, a return of a cold that I thought that I had completely gotten rid of. Today we have as our guest for the very first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Rusty Reed. He is the pastor of Reformation Church in Baker, Louisiana, formerly called Friendship Baptist Church, which is a multi-ethnic congregation seeking to minister to the North Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, emphasizing expository preaching and a return to the Bible. Rusty Reed is also a speaker at the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference, which you have heard being advertised on this program for the last couple of weeks. And today we are going to be addressing the theme, Pastoring a Small Church in a Bivocational Ministry, the Advantages, Disadvantages, and Challenges. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Rusty Reed.
Thank you, Chris. So happy to be with you today.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners something a little bit more about Reformation Church of Baker, Louisiana?
Okay. Well, as you mentioned earlier, it started off as Friendship Baptist Church. It's been here since the 60s in this area of Baker. Brownsfield is a local community around here. That's where I grew up. And so I grew up really in the shadow of this church. I knew all the people who originally started this church. And it had always been a small church. In the early 90s, it declined all through the 90s, really. And by the time I came as pastor in the year 2000, I preached my first sermon here as pastor, Easter Sunday 2000. It was very small indeed. As a matter of fact, when we came here, there were about nine members at this church. And actually, when they voted me in, four of them left. So it started out that our ministry here started out very humble beginnings, about six or seven people. And I've been here for 18 years. It's my 18th year pastoring here. And about 2003, I came under the influence of books and articles and sermons that were reformed in nature, and went to a local pastor friend of mine who was a reformed pastor in his own right, and he began to explain these things to me. And of course, I studied so-called Calvinism in college and never gave it much thought. But what happened to me was when I came here, I started preaching. I made a commitment for some reason. I just decided, I didn't know exactly how I was going to do things, but I decided that I would just preach through the Bible. And I started in John. And I didn't get very far in John before I had some serious questions. So I called my pastor friend. He began to share with me some things. And we began to reform theologically in 2003. By the time 2003 was over, we'd reformed the church. And we've been reformed ever since.
Praise God. Well, if anybody would like more details on Reformation Church, the church that we just mentioned there, you can, it's Reformation Church of Baker, Louisiana. You can go to Friendship Baptist Friendship Baptist LA for Louisiana, Friendship Baptist LA, and that website is under construction because obviously even the name has changed. So, but at least that's a starting point for you. Friendship Baptist LA, the former name of Reformation Church. And what we normally do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Rusty when we have a very first-time guest on the program is we have them give a summary of their salvation testimony. So I would like you to let our listeners know what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Yes. Well, I was saved as a young child. Are you still there, Chris? Do I still have you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I came to faith young in life. I was about 12 years old. I attended a local church here, and the pastor preached solid expository sermons, and for whatever reason, I listened, and I just came under the notion, I just became aware that if I died apart from Christ, that I was gonna be lost, and that just became a burden on my life. And one Sunday, I did what I had seen so many people do at the end of the service. I walked down the aisle. I actually got my older brother, to walk down with me because I was scared to walk by myself. And when I got to the preacher, he said, "What do you need?" And I said, I need Jesus. I need to accept Christ. And so he shared with me the gospel and prayed with me, and I accepted Christ. And my family, I grew up in a Christian family. My mother and my father were both committed Christians, always have been. And most of my family were committed Christians. And so I had a great background to learn about Christ. And we went to a good church that taught the Bible. So I grew up. Of course, when I got to an older age, there were times when I was tempted and strayed and thought that I knew a little bit more than my parents knew. But by the grace of God, he preserved me in faith. And I, when I was in my senior year of high school, I decided that I was going to go to Louisiana College and study to become a minister, and so I did. Although I have to say that when I graduated college, I had a major in religious studies and psychology. I was a bit disillusioned with ministry. I had been working as a part-time youth minister and music leader in various places all through my college career. And, frankly, I saw a part of that just served to disillusion me in ministry. I just didn't want to be that kind of minister. I loathe the image of the stereotypical preacher with platitudes and a person who's kind of fake. And it began to grow in me, actually became an issue for me. And so I decided that I wasn't going to become a minister. After all, I was going to go and get a master's degree in psychology. And I came home and eventually met the woman that I was going to marry and fell in love. And she was a super devoted Christian and just a huge influence on my life. And we were attending a church in Greenville Springs, which is a suburb of Baton Rouge. And the pastor there was a good friend, and he was a blessing to us. And he kept on asking me to preach or to serve as a Bible study leader, teacher, and things like that. And I kept resisting that until finally I gave in and took a Sunday school class. And my wife and I taught that Sunday school class. And eventually my wife just looked at me and said, "Do you think it's possible that you're supposed to be a preacher?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess it is possible." And so we began to look for opportunities to minister. I became an interim pastor at a local church in Baton Rouge and served there for a year. And then this little church called me up and asked me if I would come and consider preaching in view of a call. So I did that, and lo and behold, they asked me to be the pastor. That's where I've been all this time.
Praise God. Well, now let us know something about the Deep South Founders Conference, where you are going to be speaking. You're on the roster there. And I will, God willing, also be there manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, January 24th through the 26th at the Bethlehem Baptist Church of Laurel, Mississippi. Tell us about this conference.
Well, I became involved in the Founders ministry early on. As soon as as we began to reform the church here, I knew about a pastor in Clinton, Louisiana. His name is Fred Malone, Dr. Fred Malone.
Oh, yeah, I've had Fred on the program several times, and I think his book, his monumental book, The Baptism of Believers Alone, I believe is the title of it.
Fred
is a phenomenal book. Yeah.
Yes. He made an impression on me early on because he's just so intelligent and such a sweet man. And I've always been the kind of guy who just, I don't know, maybe I have more nerve than sense. So I called him. I didn't know him from Adam, and he certainly didn't know me. And so I called him up and told him who it was and told him that I wanted to start a local founders fraternity here in this area. And so I met with him and a few other folks, Pastor Joe Neeson and some others, and we did. And so that's kind of how I got involved with Founders. And then, of course, going to the Founders, Deep South Founders Conferences, I know Dr. Kerry Kimbrell. I grew up in the same area. As he's a little older than me, but we grew up in the same area, so I knew him, and he is the host. Dr. Kimbrell is the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church, and they're the host of the Deep South Founders Conference. So I've been going there for several years, and last year they asked me to be on the board. I have to say, though, that they're at every conference, they nominate board members and then vote those board members in, and I found out that there's another pastor, Rusty, in Louisiana. His name is Rusty Grant, wonderful man in Monroe, Louisiana, and so there were two Rustys on the that were nominated for the board of the Deep South Founders Conference for 2018 and 2019, and Rusty later on told me that he voted for me. Rusty Grant voted for me, and I voted for him. But I guess for some reason it chose me this time. So anyway, if you're on the board, I'm sure Dr. Kimbrell explained this, but if you're on the board, then and you're a pastor, and you know that's attending the conference, eventually they'll ask you to preach, and so. Yeah, I'm gonna preach this year. Of course, we're in all of our Deep South Founders conferences. We're going through the 1689 London Baptist Confession, and this year the conference is on sanctification, and the keynote speaker is Conrad Mbewe.
Actually, I know his name is pronounced Mbewe since I've known him since 1995.
Well, Mbewe. I appreciate you correcting me. And I knew that I would say something wrong.
Well, even my friend who is one of your, I don't know how to put this, I guess one of your spiritual mentors, even though you don't know him personally, you know of his ministry and have benefited by it, but even Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, you will hear him mispronounce Dr. Mbewe's name. In an ad during this program.
Okay, well then look, if James White did it, then I feel like I'm in good company.
And I know. Well, anyway, go ahead.
So he's going to be speaking, and I can't help but miss the humor here. I looked at the schedule, and Friday night he's the keynote speaker, so he'll speak first. And so I, Rusty Reed of North Baton Rouge, am following the Spurgeon of Africa. I don't even know if you can call me the Spurgeon of Brownsville, but yeah, that's going to work out.
Well, I can't even. I'm some of my listeners might be tired of me repeating this all the time, but I cannot say enough about the phenomenal gifts of Conrad Mbewe, his preaching gifts. I keep repeating it, and I'm not exaggerating it when I say it. I think he is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth. Of course, in regard to whom I have heard preach, I've not heard everybody in the world preach, but I am not meaning that in any disrespect to many other men I love who I have benefited from, including pastors that I've had. But Conrad is just there's something very unique about him that I would urge anyone to get in a train, plane, or automobile and hear him preach whenever they hear that he is preaching anywhere within traveling distance, because it will, yeah, be, it will be something that you will always remember.
No doubt about it. He's a powerful preacher. And, you know, of course, it doesn't hurt that he's got that wonderful accent.
Yeah. And, from Kabwata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and a chancellor of the African Christian University.
Right, right. So you'll have that wonderful accent, and then after that on Friday night, you'll have the redneck, half-redneck, half-Cajun Louisiana coming.
Well, brother, this is a interesting theme. We have addressed this at least once before, but as far as pastoring a small church, and of course you've expanded the theme, pastoring a small church in a bivocational ministry, the advantages, disadvantages, and challenges. But I don't think that you can be guilty of overkill necessarily by repeating this subject, because it is a very prominent issue, especially when churches are preaching the truth, when churches are taking a stand for truth. That very often means that you are taking a very unpopular stand in this day and age, and when there are many churches all over the country in most communities to choose from, people will very often choose the bigger, more professionally appearing church in regard to the music ministry. There are churches with music ministries that rival Broadway theater and right, so on. When a church is taking a stand for the truth, in spite of the fact that it may cost them members or prevent them from numeric growth, I think that that is something that should be addressed on this program, especially since I know many Reformed churches that are very small churches. Like, for instance, you know, people will refer to my congregation where I'm a member as a huge church, and I chuckle because I don't think that we don't even have 250 people on a Sunday morning, but for a Reformed Baptist church, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it is. It is. Absolutely right. And when we became a Reformed church, Reformed Baptist church, in 2003, we were under no illusions. We understood that that would probably mean that we would never grow to be a very big church. Of course, we may have never been a very big church anyway, with me as the pastor. You're absolutely right. There are not many large Reformed congregations out there. You know, there are not many, you know, John MacArthur's and those kind of large churches out there.
And typically, and if you could respond to this before we get into more of the main content that you want to address, but there are some automatic reactions that many people have when they hear about a very small church. They will very often draw the wrong conclusion that these people do not have a burden for evangelism. That's obviously why they're small. They're not passionate and concerned about seeing the lost get saved. Otherwise, they would be bursting through the walls. And then you have the other extreme, where you have very small churches that may be that way because of the stereotype that I just mentioned. They may be guilty of fulfilling that stereotype. Or they may be so cultic in their isolationist mentality and so rigid about things that should be secondary or tertiary issues on the ladder of importance of belief and practice, or they might not want a lot of newcomers coming in because they don't want a conflict to arise that may challenge or change things that they believe are important. I happen to know of one church that became a hyper-preterist church.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor was invited in to take over the mantle from the pastor that was leaving. And even though the pastor that was leaving knew that his predecessor, or should I say his successor, was not a hyper-preterist, he at one time discipled this man and welcomed him, or first of all, he urged him to take his place there, even though he did not agree with him on the hyper-preterist issue. And my friend somewhat hesitatingly and reluctantly took him up on the offer. He was being used of God to grow that church. And there were, I think, somewhere in the neighborhoods between 10 and 20 new families coming. And they were all driven out because they were not hyper-preterists. So, I mean, you have all different reasons why a church is small. But I'm assuming that your church is not small because you are lackadaisical or uncaring about the loss. So just pick up where I left off there.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think certainly there are probably churches that are small because they're not trying to be large. For whatever reason, they like you say, they have a cultic attitude, they're not warm, they're not friendly. And there are probably some Reformed churches that are that way. I'm sad to think about it, but they're probably, you know, I guess we've all heard the anecdotes of Reformed pastors who basically read Calvin's Institutes for sermons, and their sermons are dry and very intellectual and things like that. And of course, those kinds of churches are not going to grow. On the other hand, obviously, I grew up in the 80s and very much in the middle of the church growth movement, and even in Southern Baptist churches, the move to the mega church was predominant in the 80s and 90s. You know, everybody wanted to go to the church with the big gym and all of the, you know, nowadays even the coffee shops and all that kind of stuff. And in my day, it was with the best youth groups and the best music and all these kind of things. And you're right about how elaborate those things can be. And so there is a balance there. And I think a small church, especially a small Reformed church, has to somehow or another balance sound preaching, sound teaching, but also stay in touch with the reality that your people have families, they have children, they have lives, they have needs. I think the key to that is to be real. I don't pretend to be an expert on ecclesiology or certainly Reformed churches, but the way that I've done things, the way that my wife and I committed to minister way back when we first started, was we decided that we were just going to be real, that we were just going to be who we were. And, you know, and God has blessed us to be able to do that. Sometimes that's been a disadvantage for us because people say, see how, you know, I'm a human being who makes mistakes and those kind of things. And sometimes it's been a real big advantage where people have come up to me and said, you know, the one thing that I appreciate about you is that you're a person that I can identify with. You're a real person. And so I try to balance those things. I try to teach people that everybody, you don't have to be a PhD theologian to understand the precious truths of God's Word. And that's who I am. I am not... you know, I'm not James White. I don't have the intellect of James White or R.C. Sproul. But praise God, I can use those resources that they've given us to learn more about the Word of God and to teach everyday average people who work regular jobs and live regular lives and raise regular families, the deep things of the Word of God. And so that's what we'll be trying to do for, like I say, for 18 years, just be real and contact people where they live and try to teach them the truth.
Amen. By the way, since you brought up ecclesiology, I can't help but to promote a future show that I'm having on the very subject of Baptist ecclesiology and polity. On January 4th, God willing, we're going to have Dr. Michael Haken on the program to address that issue.
Oh, yeah? Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah,
so
I'll be listening to that.
We're going to our first station break. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for our guest today, Rusty Reed. By the way, I wanted to let you know that my friend, Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, wants to know if you are a Rusty Reed that will not break.
Yeah, I hope so. I know this much, that even if I'm bruised, the Lord Jesus won't break me.
Amen. Well, if you have any questions for Rusty Reed on pastoring a small church and a bivocational ministry, the advantages, disadvantages, and challenges, please give us an email at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic of biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, support to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember to help replenish that which was lost in regard to Solid Ground Christian Books and their finances. As most of you know who listen to this show, Mike Gaidosh underwent very serious and dangerous open heart surgery very recently, and during his time laid up in the hospital and laid up being, or should I say laid up recovering from the surgery, which we all thank God was successful, They did experience a financial setback, a very serious financial setback. So please help replenish that by doing as much, if not all, of your Christmas shopping at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And also, keep in mind that today is the very last day of the Christmas sale, where CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, is offering 10% off of everything in the store, including those things that are already discounted. So I've got an idea for you. I've told you this before, but I hope you take advantage of it. Why not you go to Solid Ground Christian Books website, solid-ground-books.com, and order, or should I say, make a list of as many books as possible that you would like to order for the Christmas holidays, for your own benefit, for other reasons. And take this long list and go to CVBBS.com and order them. Because CVBBS.com is not a publisher, they are a book distributor, and they carry all of Solid Ground Christian Books titles. So please consider that, so you could kill two birds with one stone and bless both of my sponsors that are book-related at the same time. Now we are back with our discussion with Rusty Reed. Rusty Reed, who is the pastor of Reformation Church in Baker, Louisiana, which is in the northern area of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we are discussing pastoring a small church in a bivocational ministry, the advantages, disadvantages, and challenges. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And why don't we start with some of the advantages? People might not think that there are any advantages of being in a small church, but I think that there clearly are. I have, throughout my Christian life, had friends who were pastors of very small churches, churches that are very small comparatively to other churches across the United States. And there was an obvious tighter-knit family of believers in those churches. These were churches where everybody literally knew everybody, where they seemed to have a lot more fun at fellowship gatherings and enjoy their company. And so, I mean, the family aspect of what a congregation should be is really strengthened when a church is smaller, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, the fact of the matter is, America's churches are getting smaller. The Hartford Institute for Religious Research published findings even as far back as 2016 that America's churches were growing in size. In other words, there are more churches out there, but they're smaller churches. And that same research stated that the majority of U.S. churches have fewer than 100 people in attendance. So that's 58% of churches in America had less than 100 people. And there was some more research by put out by Tom Rainer that indicated that 9 out of 10 churches in America had less than 350 people. So the fact of the matter is there are lots of small churches out there, and there are reasons for that. I think some of the advantages to a small church is, like you said, you know, there's more contact, more personal involvement. People know each other. I can't tell you the amount of times that people have told me that they liked going to a small church because they felt like the pastor knew their names, because they knew everybody in the church. And, of course, some people, that's not an advantage, but for the vast majority of people, it is an advantage. And, of course, the disadvantages for a small church is obviously there are less resources. The resources are less to pay a staff. You have less resources to build buildings And sadly, there are less resources oftentimes to do ministry. And certainly, ministering for 18 years in a small church is the way I have, I can identify with that. You become, you know, accustomed, if not adept, at taking the small resources you have financially and doing the best that you can do with them. But I'm here to tell you that, I mean, you can do some wonderful things even with very limited resources. You just have to be creative. You have to really put your mind to it, and you have to pray a lot. And of course, at Reformation Church, we've been blessed to have some wonderfully talented people who just committed their resources and their lives to do some wonderful things. I can, you know, one of the most one of my favorite books. You were talking about books a while ago. In my opinion, the second greatest book ever written is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And I have always tried to get people to read Pilgrim's Progress because I know the impact that it'll make on their lives. And so a while back we had a lady in our church who found a play based on Pilgrim's Progress, and she said, why don't we do a play?
Wow.
Yeah, so we did. I mean, it was not a small production. We borrowed.
You had to play five parts in it, right?
No, I was just the narrator, thankfully. It was a musical, too. So, yeah, it was limited in what I could do as far as that's concerned. But we had a wonderful time doing that play. And, I mean, it was way beyond what we, as a church of less than 100 people, should have been able to do. But we were able to do it. God was gracious to us, and it had a huge impact not only on our community but on our church. Another thing we did was we decided we wanted to do something on Halloween, which we'd never done before. We stayed away from Halloween, but we had a member who had a house in a subdivision with lots of children, lots of people in it, and so we decided to do what we called a reverse haunted house, which was instead of you walk through this thing, but instead of getting scared, you got the gospel message. We had different booths that were set up that graphically displayed aspects of the gospel.
Wow!
And that was a huge thing. We had people that just. For a little church, we had more than 100 people, maybe even 200 people who came to that and just created quite a stir. So we've been blessed to do things that probably are beyond the scope of what you might think that we would be able to do. God's really blessed us with that kind of stuff. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too.
I have a friend who is now in eternity with Christ. His name is Dr. Robert J. Cameron. He was an Orthodox Presbyterian minister. Actually, before that, he was a Presbyterian Church in America minister, and before that, he was a Reformed Episcopalian minister. But he believed that the church should start really aggressively being involved in a church shrinkage movement. He was uncomfortable with churches that just allowed themselves to grow and grow and grow and grow without planting other churches. He obviously did not want to shrink a church by unnecessarily driving people out or preventing people from coming in, but he believed that churches had more of a responsibility to plant. So, and one of the main reasons that he had this passion and view is that he believed that it is extremely more difficult for larger churches to adequately shepherd and disciple and discipline mega churches, very large churches. And the smaller the church is, typically the more adequately a shepherd or shepherds plural can discipline and disciple and shepherd those people. What would you have to say about that?
I agree. And I would add to that that, you know, in my humble opinion, we need to, and I think this is going to happen no matter what, we need to shift churches from being personality-based, that is, based around a pastor or some other popular figure, and by no means am I disparaging these people. I mean, you know, this is, you know, John Pipers, John MacArthur's, Archie Sproul's, Steve Lawson's of the world have had a huge impact on my life. But too often, people think, you know, if you really want to have a successful church, you've got to have some figure like those guys behind it. And I think we need to go to a more a smaller model for our churches, not centered around a personality, but centered around godly, steadfast, faithful elders who, on a regular basis, teach the truths of God's Word, and more importantly, or just as importantly, apply them to the lives of the people in their church. You can't do that. An elder can't do that if he doesn't know the people in his church. I'll tell you who impacted me here on that, and that's Capitol Hill Baptist Church, Mark Dever. We switched at Friendship. It was Friendship back then. In 2004, we switched to an elder system of government in the church, where we had a plurality of elders who were equal in authority but different in function. And Mark Dever is the one who influenced me there when I read his book from years ago, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. And that's where I started picking up on that. And so I was able to go to Capitol Hill Baptist to a weekend retreat type thing for pastors, and we got to observe how they did things. And I went to an elders meeting that he had, and I watched how this was a big church, of course, and they had several elders, you know, maybe more than 10, 15. But these guys were so passionate about the people. Each one, they went through the list of members in their church. They cited the names and they prayed for them individually, and each one of them had something to comment. I suppose, I can't remember, but I suppose that maybe they had divided the membership up and were taking care of each one of the members like that. But the point is, they knew their members. They were passionate about their members. It wasn't just that they were preaching these awesome sermons, which they were, but it was that they were taking pastoring down to the personal level. That's what a church really is people who need to be pastored, need to be shepherded by godly men. And that's what I think, that's the direction I think we ought to go. The thing about small church, though, Chris, is, you know, as I said, you're limiting your resources, and I think that's where the bivocational part comes in. Sometimes, and I think more increasingly, there's going to be a need for a bivocational pastoral situation.
In fact, let's pick up on the bivocational aspect when we return from our midway break. We have to go to a midway break right now, and I don't want to cut you off in mid-sentence when you're too deep into the subject. This is our longer than normal break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle, because they have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, and therefore they air their own commercials and public service announcements during this break. So please use this time wisely and write down questions for our guest Rusty Reed on pastoring a small church, but also please write down the information that is provided by our advertisers, because the more frequently and more successfully that you patronize my advertisers, the more likely they will remain my advertisers, and that means the more likely I will remain on the air, because I rely upon the advertising dollars that my sponsors provide in order to exist. So please write down the information provided by my advertisers and patronize them as frequently as possible. And send in those questions to Rusty Reed at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled consider the evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed, professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, Senior Pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget that today is the final day of cvbbs.com's 10% off discount. Everything in the store for Christmas. This is the final day of the store, of the sale. So if you want to take advantage of that sale, go to cvbbs.com and place your order before midnight. Also, they have a toll-free number that's available, not for this sale because they've already gone for the day, but for future purchases, you can call 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And please always remember to tell Todd and Patty Jennings, the owners of CVBBS.com, that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to make sure that you are aware of some important announcements, of some important events, I should say, that are coming up. First of all, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon is coming up. This is a free event for men in ministry leadership. This is not open to ladies. It is strictly a men's ministry luncheon, and it's going to be held, God willing, Thursday, January 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The speakers include, or should I say the speaker at this, there's only one speaker. The speaker at this luncheon is Dr. Tony Costa, the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. His message is going to be on the theme, the meaninglessness of life and the destruction of Western society without God. You are not only going to get a free lunch and free admission to hear Dr. Tony Costa speak, but you are also going to be getting free books donated by almost every major Christian publisher in the United States and the United Kingdom who have been donating to us books, free books, to give away to pastors every year, going all the way back to the 1990s, when I began these luncheons through the inspiration of my sweet, precious late wife, Julie, whose idea it was originally to treat pastors to an annual Christmas luncheon and forego the Christmas gift exchange that she and I had in order to afford to do that. And this luncheon grew so big that we had to get corporate sponsorship for it. And we do have the help of our dear friends at BatteryDepot.com, LynbrookBaptist.org, and NASBible.com, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, who have helped us maintain this ever-growing luncheon every year. So if you'd like to attend the luncheon, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put luncheon in the subject line. That's Thursday, January 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, absolutely free of charge. And there is nothing for sale there at all. There's no hidden agenda or ulterior motives. This is just purely to bless men in ministry leadership with a fun time of relaxation, great food, a powerful message from a gifted speaker like Dr. Tony Costa, and to get free books. I know pastors love free books, and you'll be getting a lot of them, probably two heavy sacks filled with brand new free books. These are not donated from a discount bin somewhere that have been used or damaged. These are brand new books that I actually select all of the titles that we give away at all of the luncheons. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Dr. Tony Costa is sticking around this area after the luncheon, and he is going to be speaking at the Enola First Church of God in nearby Enola, Pennsylvania, where my friend Pastor George Jensen serves as the pastor. And I'm very excited about this. It's a conference I helped arrange with Pastor Jensen, and I hope that as many of you will attend this as possible. In fact, this is not exclusively for men, as the pastor's luncheon is. This is open to everyone, men, woman, or child, Christian or non-Christian. We would love to see you there to hear Dr. Tony Costa speak on Contending for the Faith, the Church in a Postmodern World. That's Friday, January 4th through Sunday, January 6th. At the Enola First Church of God. For more details on attending this conference, you can call 717-732-4253, 717-732-4253, which is the phone number for the Enola First Church of God, or you could go to their website, enolacog.com, E-N-O-L-A-C-O-G.com, or you could email me as well at chrisarnson@gmail.com and say, I want to know more about the Tony Costa Seminar or Enola First Church of God event, however you want to phrase it. Just put that in the subject line, and I'll make sure I get back to you. Later on in that month, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a nearby suburb. And the roster is very long and very impressive, as always. That's going to be Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. They are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people to be there. I strongly urge you to sign up not only for attendance, but for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning for the third year in a row, to take advantage of that crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people. If you have a church, parachurch, ministry, business, professional practice, or special event that you want to promote in that crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people. The speakers this January include Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad M. Bewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel, and Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college that was founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. For more details, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and as I said, I strongly urge you to not only register for attendance, but register for an exhibitor's booth. In fact, when I last heard from them, they had less than 10 spots left for exhibitor's booths, so if you want one, I would get on that immediately. Then, coming up after that, same month, later on in the month, another conference where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth. This time, it will be a first-time experience for me, and that's the conference that we have been talking about today, the Deep South Founders Conference. That's going to be held from the 24th of January through the 26th of January on the theme of sanctification. That will be held at the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. I've never even been in Mississippi before in my life, let alone for a Bible conference, so I'm looking forward to this. These speakers include our guests today, Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and the keynote speaker, as we mentioned earlier, is Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and chancellor of African Christian University. I think he's the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth today. If you want to attend the Deep South Founders Conference, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you look forward to the guests and topics that we have every day, many of which are never heard anywhere else. You love sharing the free MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones and acquaintances and business colleagues. You just can't wait to hear the show every day, whether live or in recorded fashion. Then please, if that is the case, please don't let us disappear from the airwaves. Please help us financially as much as you can and as frequently as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are heading into another dark period of financial problems. We can see that there are already bills mounting up that we have not paid, some of which are already late. If you could please help us more than ever before by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You'll be able to donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and you click support. As I try to remember to tell you every day, please never, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for church and home, providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then we plead with you to help us remain on the air, if indeed that is your desire, that we remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you'd like to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and I will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You don't have to believe identically with me. You just need to be promoting something that is compatible with what we believe. Also, if you are without a church home, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God, so please rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have helped listeners of this program all over the world to find churches nearby them. So I can help you too, God willing. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church home" or something similar in the subject line. And now we are back to our guest today, Rusty Reed. He is pastor of Reformation Church in Baker, Louisiana, a suburb of the North Baton Rouge, Louisiana area. We are discussing pastoring a small church and a bivocational ministry. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you'd like to join us with a question, that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We are now back to our discussion, Rusty. And before the break, you were just about to enter into one of the key aspects of our theme, a bivocational ministry. There are even some churches and ministries and organizations. Of course, they are a minority in this day and age, but there are some who actually believe that that is the only way a church can be biblically faithful, is to have either a group of elders or a singular minister or pastor who is not paid. That is a minority view, but I don't believe that is the position you're taking. You're talking about being bivocational by means of necessity, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I would say the vast majority of churches and Christians think, when they think of church, they think of a church that has a vocational pastor, a full-time, sometimes they call it pastor. I'm not a fan of that terminology, full-time, part-time pastor. I don't think there's such a thing as a part-time pastor. Whether you're bivocational or not, you're gonna be a full-time pastor. There's no way around it. I am I have been a bivocational pastor ever since we started. Like I said, when we started a Friendship in 2000, the church was very small. There was no way they could have supported a pastor, a full-time, with a family. I've always had a job. Now, there have been times in the ministry when I was less bivocational, when we had more financial resources, and I was able to commit more time to ministry full-time, or at least more of my time to ministry. But even now, I work other jobs outside of the church. I cut grass. I've managed a brick company for many years. I'm not doing that anymore, but I did that for a long time. I sold insulation. So there are other things that I do. And I do think that not only is that a viable and acceptable model for pastoral ministry, I think that it is advantageous in many cases to ministry. I think there are lots of advantages to bivocational ministry. Obviously, the greatest and probably most obvious advantage to bivocational ministry is that it allows a small church to have a pastor. It allows a small church to exist, really. In the Baton Rouge area, I've seen churches who've lost a lot of their membership for various reasons, get to the point where they were so small they couldn't afford to have a full-time pastoral staff, and so they just closed the doors. Bivocational ministry allows for churches that are smaller to exist, so that's an obvious advantage. But there are other advantages too, I think. If you have a bivocational ministry, you have more resources or money, in particular, to spend on things like missions. You can have a wider, more diverse staff. You may pay them much less. Obviously, if you have a bivocational pastor, then you're not paying him a full-time salary, so it's not as large a salary, so the pastor's not occupying as much of the budget space, so you have more money to pay more staff, perhaps. If you have a bivocational ministry, then you have more resources to commit to ministry in the community. But there are also advantages, I think, to both the pastor and the congregants. For example, in my case, I found that being a bivocational has given me more freedom. It's kind of broken me out of the church growth mold that I grew up in, where you kind of had to focus on attracting people. And if you're focused on attracting people, you're very careful about what you say, and you're very careful about what kind of music you have, and you're very careful about what you teach even. So being a bivocational pastor, I think, has freed me up to speak more frankly and more biblically, and not worry about the fact that people in large numbers aren't coming to hear that. I think also it helps, being bivocational helps the pastor avoid the trap of possibly becoming a professional preacher. And again, this is a big theme in my life. It may not be in other people's lives, but it is mine. I didn't want to be that. I never wanted to be that kind of guy, that kind of preacher. John Piper, I'm sure you're aware of the book that he wrote, Brothers We're Not Professionals, had an impact on my life. I didn't want to be a professional pastor. And so I think that being bivocational has kind of helped me avoid that trap. There are advantages, but there are also disadvantages being a bivocational pastor.
The diluting of your time is the one that immediately springs to mind, whereas pastors that are fully supported financially by their congregations and do not need to be bivocational have much more time for study, to prepare sermons, and also to minister to those in need, to be under shepherds in the flock. So that would be the immediate one that pops into my mind.
There's no doubt. And people ask me all the time, what's the worst thing about being a bivocational pastor? And I'm quick to tell them, guilt. You have to fight against this feeling of guilt. That whenever I'm studying, reading a book, preparing for a sermon, in the back of my mind, a lot of times there's a guilt. What are you doing? It's the middle of the day, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and here you are reading a book. Well, why aren't you making a sale? Why aren't you doing something productive and profitable? On the other hand, when I'm working, maybe cutting grass, a yard that I'm getting paid to cut, I feel guilty because I am not studying more. So, it's kind of, you're caught in between a lot of times. And I'm afraid, and I've heard a lot from bivocational pastors, this sense of guilt. No matter what they're doing, they feel like they ought to be doing something else. And there are helps for that. I can tell you right now, the advent of podcasts, I'm not a big tech guy, but podcasting has helped me tremendously. Even when I'm working, I can listen to your show and other sermons. I listen to 8 or 10 sermons a day to help me, not just to help me in my Christian walk, but also to help prepare for sermons. So that's a big blessing for me, and it's good. I know Dr. James White, he listens to books that he's recorded on his, I don't know how he does that, but however he does that, he's often able to listen to books, and he's able to study and prepare for the dividing line and other things like that. So the technology is a good thing. It's helpful in that respect.
One thing that I don't want any of our listeners to walk away with thinking is that some churches and some elders and deacons might be more emboldened to be cheap when it comes to what they or how they financially support their pastors. Because as you already mentioned, you are not taking this position as a doctrinal position that is one that one must adhere to be biblically faithful, like a tiny minority of Christians do, who believe that it's actually a sin for a pastor to be fully financially supported by the congregation. I don't agree with that at all. But if you're in a church that does not have that doctrinal position that I just mentioned, and you believe a pastor should be paid, then it really has grieved me over the years when I have, because I have, one of the reasons I mentioned earlier that my wife came up with the idea of starting a pastor's luncheon, and that we stopped giving each other Christmas gifts in order to afford it, was because she recognized that I have an extraordinarily high percentage, an unusually high percentage of friends that are pastors, because I've been involved in Christian radio in one way or another most of my adult life. And I've gotten to know a lot of pastors, and it grieves me when I see and hear about the fact that how they abuse their pastors by paying them a wage, or however you want to say it, by financially supporting them to such a low level that they're really living basically on either borderline poverty or poverty. And I know in some of those circumstances, it is unnecessary that they're being paid that low. It's almost as if, in fact, it's not just almost as if, it's truly the way some people think, that, hey, a guy who is making a corporation millions of dollars deserves to get paid a very high wage. A guy that's working hard with a jackhammer, or, you know, who's sweating in physical labor every day, that person also deserves to get paid a good wage. But a pastor, I mean, come on, he studies for a message that he gives once or twice a week. And, you know, some people are so ignorant of the role of a pastor that they think that's all he does. But they think, well, I'm not going to give this guy, I don't want to give this guy more money than just the basic bare minimums of survival. Well, that's sinful and wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've seen the studies that say that a third of pastors in America are in more financial stress than the average number of in the average American family. So that, yeah, there's no doubt that churches are not living up to the biblical mandate to take care of their pastors. I mean, Paul is very clear that he had every right to expect the church to support him. The only reason that sometimes he did not allow churches to support him was when he chose for whatever reason to support himself, probably to keep the church from being burdened, overly burdened. But there's no doubt that Christians in churches, local churches, ought to take care of their pastors. They ought to support their pastors, and too often they don't. And that's a sad state. I've heard of pastors who can't afford medical care, and you know, pastors with families who can't afford medical care for their children, and that's a sad thing to think about the Church of God, who won't take care of their pastor.
Well, we're going to our final station break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, please do it quickly before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, Senior Pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3944. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the entire show has been and will continue to be Rusty Reed, pastor of Reformation Church in Baker, Louisiana, and also speaker at the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference. He is speaking today on the theme, Pastoring a Small Church in a Bivocational Ministry, the Advantages, Disadvantages, and Challenges. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Pastor Rusty, we have an anonymous listener who says, I know that many Reformed churches are opposed to breaking up families where churches are being attended by parents who send their children off to larger churches that have larger youth groups and services for children. Do you have any problem with this practice, or is this something that you can accept?
Well, yeah, I do have a problem with that practice. I think that going to church, attendance at a local church, should be a family affair. And I think it boils down to asking yourself questions. What's church about? Why are you going to church? Why would you want to break the family up and to send the children or young people off to another church? I wouldn't forbid it, and I have to admit that there have probably been cases in which people at our church have done that, although it's been rare. But I wouldn't be in favor of it.
Yeah, don't you think that sometimes there might be individual cases where it might be something more acceptable to you? Well, I'll give you an example. Let's say a couple are members of a large church that has some flourishing youth ministry or ministry to teens, and it is not one that is unfortunately imitating the model that many of these mega churches have with youth groups that are completely shallow and devoid of biblical content, or at least biblical depth, and they are really nothing more than glorified babysitters that allow, teenagers to enjoy themselves and have fun, and they have Christian rock concerts and all those kinds of things,
right?
And sporting activities and all that. And I'm not against those kind of activities. Well, I have problems with Christian rock concerts. I used to love them as a new single Christian, but I'm having more and more difficulty with that venue. But there's nothing wrong with recreation and activity when it's in its proper place, not during a worship service. But where you have this family that might be going to a church that has that, and then the parents say, you know, we want to go to the smaller church, because we really have been profoundly blessed by the teaching and preaching of the pastor there. And where it would be if they were to remove the children or the teenagers from the other groups, it would be taking away from them something that they were already experiencing. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that there can be issues like that that would give you less of a problem?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are always, you know, circumstances and situations. You have to take these things on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, I would have to sit down and talk to a mom and dad and find out what the situation was before making a recommendation there. You know, and like I said, we don't have any rules for that or against that. But, you know, again, it's a matter of what, you know, understanding what the local church is and what the local church does. And too often we have a, especially people who, like me, grew up, as I said, in that church growth time, we have an understanding of local church that is very different, I think, than what the apostles had in mind for local church. And I understand that, you know, this is not the first century or anything like that, and things change, and that's fine. But I do think we need to have a biblically rooted understanding of ecclesiology in general and local church ministry in particular.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, do you think that it is ever God's, he has a grammatical error here. Is it ever God's will that a church remain small and yet still remain in good standing with him, not as a form of chastisement or some other reason, but do you think that that God will ever bless a church by keeping it small?
Well, I certainly hope so, because Friendship is still, or Reformation Church is still small.
I guess another way of asking it more understandably would be, is a small church always a sign of God's disapproval upon that congregation and a sign of chastisement?
No. And again, we have to get back to understanding what a local church is. It's really not about size. It's not about whether it's large or small. It's about what the local church does. Are you faithfully preaching and teaching God's word? Are you faithfully applying God's word to people's lives? Do you have a biblical model of pastoring and a biblical model of church attendance and church membership? And those are the key things. And size is extraneous. It's not a function of what the church is. Size is just something that all too often is just the way things are, you know, and so we shouldn't plan like, you know, I want to have a church with 350 people, and so we're going to do things that are going to enable us to have a church with 350 people. On the other hand, you shouldn't plan to have a church that's got no more than 100 people, you know. That should not be a consideration, I don't think.
Well, you know, another advantage of a bivocational pastor just popped into my head because of what we're talking about right now. I think bivocational men who are willing and interested in being that are going to be of great use to the body of Christ when a church perhaps is planted and before it has an opportunity to numerically grow and subsequently financially grow to pay a full-time minister. It's great to have this resource available that there are men of God out there that are willing to start off anyway as being bivocational.
That's a great point. And, of course, we should be more, and I think, praise God, increasingly we are, as Christians in America, becoming more involved in church planting And the fact of the matter is that you know you're not going to be able to do a lot of church planning unless you're willing to do some bivocational ministry. In many senses, when we came to Friendship, then it was Friendship. We had in our minds that we were planting a new church, that essentially the church here was dead for practical purposes. They didn't even know how to go about selecting a pastor. They had me and another pastor that kind of, he's a good friend of mine now, he's my next door neighbor, as a matter of fact, and I teased him that there was a beauty contest, and I got one more vote than he did, and I won. The idea of not, you know, I'm not going to, there's no way I'm going to be a bivocational pastor. It's going to limit the amount of pastors that you can go on. And I do think, Chris, that one of the disadvantages to being a bivocational pastor is that all too often bivocational pastors struggle with the feeling that they are a second-class pastor, that they're not a real pastor, or that they haven't really made the big time, you know, and that's I think unfortunate, and not a biblical ideal that we have divided ministry up in that way. There's no sense in which a bivocational pastor ought to think that he is a second class pastor and that he won't have made it to the big show until he gets a full-time church. I think that's unfortunate. I know when I was coming out of college and, you know, about to go to seminary and go that route, that what you did was you went as a seminary student, you went to a small church, and a small church kind of fulfilled the function of giving ministries to these preacher students until they got a real job. You know, and I think that's a poor way of looking at it.
Well, I want you to take about 2.5 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Okay. Well, I want to say that in America today, small church ministry is alive and well, and it is a vital part of God's plan for his church. And I think that people ought not be afraid to be involved in a small church ministry. I think there's a lot of blessing that can come out of that. And to bivocational pastors, I would want to encourage them to tell them that they're not second-class pastors, that they can have long, fulfilling ministry and really make a difference in ministry to the people of God, even though they are working at an outside job.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners remember that if you want to attend the Deep South Founders Conference, where our guest today, Rusty Reed, will be one of the speakers, alongside of Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and Chancellor of the African Christian University. You can go to this conference by registering at deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com, and I hope to see you there because, as I said, I will be there for the very first time, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, God willing. And I am looking forward with great anticipation to being there for the very first time in Mississippi ever in all of my 56 years of life. And
make sure you get some fried catfish.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love fried catfish already. I've had it at Cajun restaurants and other places, even up north. But I would love to have the real thing.
Yeah.
And do you have any contact information? Because I know that your website is under construction, and it still has the old name of your church as the URL. So how would our listeners get in contact with you?
Yeah, thanks for that. They can contact us. Of course, we do a podcast under Friendship Baptist Church as well. And our address here is 10011 Comeet Drive, at C-O-M-I-T-E, Drive in Baker, Louisiana. And our phone number is 225-261-4639. And so we would love for anybody to call or reach out to us. And, of course, if they can't get to us through that, we have a Facebook page, like everybody else does, under Reformation Church. So if they just look up Reformation Church, Baker, Louisiana, in Facebook, they'll be able to find us.
And you can always email me as well at chrisarnson@gmail.com and ask me for Pastor Russie Reed's contact information. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I hope you all have a safe, blessed, happy, and God-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.